This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with me, Shazana Mokhtar, and Wong Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we're going to discuss what happens to the Pekan parliamentary seat now that its MP, Datuk Sri Najib Razak, has been convicted and imprisoned. But in the meantime, let's talk about ways to attract foreign direct investment in Malaysia. And is a premium visa program the way to go? Because that's exactly what the government is rolling out.
In an effort to woo wealthy foreign investors to settle in our country, the government has launched the premium visa program, PVIP, which will be open for applications on 1st October. Prospective applicants need to fulfill the following financial criteria. They must have an offshore income of at least 40,000 ringgit a month or 480,000 ringgit a year and at least 1 million ringgit in their bank account. On top of it, a one-off 200,000 ringgit participation fee is compulsory. PVIP visas holders will be allowed to buy properties, study, invest and conduct business here.
Now, I think it's important to note that this program, this PVIP program, is distinct from the Malaysia My Second Home program. So these are two separate schemes. But the number of applicants for both will be capped at 1% of the Malaysian population. So can this program achieve the government's vision to draw global tycoons and bring in 200 million ringgit to the economy? For reactions to the policy, we speak to Sean Chia, Executive Director of the Malaysian International Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Sean, good morning. Thanks very much for speaking with us today. Now, before we delve into this new premium visa program, let's start with getting an understanding of what visas are actually available for foreign investors and business people to work and run businesses here, and maybe give us a sense of how difficult this is to obtain.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for inviting me here again. In general, the visas as we have today, they are conditional upon employment or business, which indirectly provides the employment. Well, how difficult it is? Well, it can be a rather long process, and there are quite a lot of conditions, and there might be some restrictions. Again, as you mentioned earlier, this is an exception to the MM2H, which is for retirees, then not needing the condition of employment. That's the general difference with what is existing and what is proposed with the VIP pass.
Sean, can you hear us? Do you think this PVIP program is going to work? Is it going to attract foreign wealthy foreigners to invest in Malaysia?
Okay, the PVIP, or rather I call it VIP pass, the target for the roughly about US 12,000 monthly income, and for a person able to generate that sort of income per month, you're talking about very, very high wealthy people, probably C-suites of large corporations. And they would likely to be in their 40s with children, you know, family and children. But I do not see, well, there may be some in general. I do not see that if you are a C-suite, I mean a CEO for, let's say, Meta or Google, you know, they won't be migrating out of their homes where they are now to live in another world. But I would say that there will be those that have what we call passive income, such as, you know, artists, celebrities, non-working business owners that, you know, own large corporates that are paying them, a recurring income that fits that profile. So this would be this segment that you'll be attracting. Then you might get those that are serial investors, which are, as I say, they get the income from passive income, and then they can move over here and then invest locally. So that even when you talk about investing locally, we are not exactly sure what does it mean by investing locally, as in they just plonk their money or they finance or invest in startups and businesses here, or to set up a business, a corporation here itself as an extension of what they do back home, right? Then there is also another segment of people, right? And these are very wealthy people who wants to be very private. And they want to look for a place where they can live and move about in anonymity. That means that maybe in their home country, it lacks security, you know, that their children might get kidnapped or they themselves get kidnapped. Or they are maybe celebrities or person of high profile where they really want to be able to move about without being watched or harassed by paparazzi and stuff like that. So there is also this segment that might be attractive.
Okay, so it seems that it really does target the high net worth individual. But what do you think, Sean? Do you think that these programs will be enough to attract quality investments to Malaysia? And maybe what do you think needs to improve in order to actually attract foreigners to come to the country and stay and spend their money here?
Yeah, right. The end of the day, the principle of attraction is risk and return. Right. So what Malaysia has to do is our policy has to be about an investment environment that is lower in risk and a possibility of higher returns. So these are those slew of things that we can do to attract people to come here, other than the other reasons that I gave about anonymity and how they want to be secure. It also includes stable and strong foreign currency because they are going to bring in all of the money and it's going to be stuck here. So they don't want to see their net worth eroded with a very weak currency, right? And that goes to say it's the interest rates, which are also very important, that they have capital or money funds stuck in a country where, you know, they are not giving them a good return. So these are some of the things that can be worked to be attractive to these such investors.
Sean, the other thing I would like to bring up is the MM2H program, which there were many changes. There were very different versions which the government suggested and there were some U-turns. So do you think that there's the possibility that this VIP pass might also come under the same kind of evolution and in a way then be not very attractive to let's say, future investors to this country?
Yes, great that you brought this up. And I issued a media release. I call it a goose story. And it actually tells about these things, that how the misstep by the government in unilaterally changing this MM2H sends quite a shiver up the spine of a lot of the potential investors. And it also it does no favors in terms of the existing MM2H people repeating this possibility of unilateral change. You're talking about this VIP pass there. It is a 20-year period. That means that a visa holder that comes through here will be investing in the long term. Right, is a long-term thing. So that is the stability they should be looking at. And this history of a sudden unilateral change midstream has an effect. And it would discourage potential applicants, some of them maybe, And even if there is applicants coming through, they will only be investing in what I call portable or transient businesses, because it's a very because there is a fear of a long term stability of the visa,
right?
And the rules of the visa, they will only invest in things which are very transient, right? So if I hazard to guess, I will foresee that these families, when they do come in, they will be setting up rather small family businesses such as restaurants or some form of trading. They will, you know, taking advantage of this permit to allow, you know, the family members to work.
Right. Sean, thank you very much for speaking with us and for sharing your thoughts on this. That was Sean Chia, Executive Director of the Malaysian International Chamber of Commerce and Industry, weighing in on the government's plan to introduce a VIP pass, really raising some questions on the effectiveness of this program. A lot of loose threads that need to be answered. It's 7:29 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. Well, we're actually heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. We'll come back after that with the discussion of Sri Lanka. How much of a lifeline does the $2.9 billion financial package from the IMF give them? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.